You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yes, indeed. Oh, this, we're not passing judgment here.
Okay.
It's just science.
It's just science here.
The Wire.
No, my hooky, my welcome back to The Wire on 95BFM. Once again, if you have any thoughts on any of these pieces, give us a text on 5395 or call us on 309-3879. Recently, a study was published by Australia Museum's Victoria Research Institute examining deep-sea ecosystems around Aotearoa's waters. The study mapped the global distribution of brittle stars, which are closely related to starfish, the links between deep-sea ecosystems from Iceland to Tasmania, and the impacts of climate change and deep-sea mining on said ecosystems. 95BFM Tuesday Wire host Sarah spoke with Sadie Mills, the Invertebrate Collection Manager at Earth Sciences New Zealand, to discuss what this research means for understanding biodiversity beneath the waves, especially within the context of climate change and deep-sea mining.
Yeah, sure. So this is basically related to a paper which has been published in Nature recently, and it brings together researchers from over 48 different natural history collections around the world. What we've done is gathered together over 2,600 samples of brittle stars, all of our collections, collected from 15 geographic regions and different depth zones in the ocean. And we've brought these together to make a phylogeny. So that's like a family tree using genetic sequences of all of these brittle stars. And then we've used that to estimate the rates of transition between those species, like how long it's taken for them to evolve and where they're distributed, so where they live. And that's really given us an interesting view of how species have moved around the world over evolutionary timescales, so that's millions of years. And really interestingly, we found that some of the species that are in the deepest of our oceans in the abyssal zone, that they're really connected, much more connected to each other than some people might think. And the species that we find in shallower waters are actually more disconnected and more distinct from each other. So you'll find species from our end of the world in the very deep abyssal zone of the ocean. All the way up in the North Atlantic, there'll be similar species or more closely related species. So it's really interesting work.
What have been some of the outcomes the researchers involved or you have been hoping to discover with this study, or what are some of the outcomes that have come out of this study?
Something from my standpoint, so I'm a collection manager, so I look after lots of specimens in the collection. So one of the cool things for me is it's showing another way that the specimens that we look after in these collections, how they can be used to kind of do these global studies and understand how connected the oceans are. So when we're doing some kind of activities in the deep sea, be it like mining or fishing or things like that, like what impacts we might be having on species that are, you know, in our area but also overseas, and also like over time, like how bigger scale changes like with climate change, that's really highlighting how, you know, if the global circulation of the waters around our oceans changes because of climate change, that could really impact a lot of really important connections in the deep sea. So it's just kind of shining a spotlight on the deep sea again. It's something that's kind of out of sight, out of mind for a lot of people. So for us, it's like it's really exciting to get people thinking more about the deep sea and understanding what impact we have on it as humans.
Yeah, I did want to ask about how will the threat of deep sea mining and climate change impact natural biodiversity, especially in the deep ocean? I was wondering if you could talk a bit more about that.
I think we basically, you know, we, as I said before, we think we don't really think about the deep sea very often because we can't see it, lots of different impacts that we do as humans are having an impact on the deep sea and the ocean. We don't know. I think that we're still learning about that. We still need to do research to understand what the impacts are of us doing various activities. So until we know what impact we have on the environment, we should be, you know, take some caution to understand what could happen. You know, we could lose species, and these species are at the, you know, something like the brittle star, for example, is in part of the food chain or the food web that supports other species. So if we are impacting some species, we could be taking away a food source for fish or other animals further up the food chain. So yeah, one, you know, impacting one part of the web of life really could have other impacts that we don't understand. So yeah, just something to keep in mind.
It sounds like it's quite important for your research, I suppose, that you do have a lot of researchers from across the globe, and you do have quite a bit of a network with regard to this study as well. I was wondering if geopolitical tensions or economic issues with regard to those countries involved at all influence or hinder the way that you're able to carry out this research.
That's a really interesting question. For scientists, you know, we are able to keep up some of those connections through doing science, and we've had some really good collaborations with different countries, and able to continue to make connections with people and share data and things like that. But yeah, it obviously it will be difficult if some countries are at war and can't be visited or can't send things around the world. That has an impact. You know, there might be a natural history collection in a country that's not accessible anymore, something like that. But that kind of thing, we see that in everyday life as well, right? From supply chains and things like that. So, yeah, of course, these things have an impact. But I think, you know, there's still good people in every country who are doing good work. And it's a way, I guess, of keeping ourselves connected and, you know, continuing to do as much work as we can for all humankind.
Final question. What are the next steps for the Global Deep Sea Network, particularly in the context of these environmental threats that we've talked about?
So I guess, yeah, just like all science, probably we end up with more questions than we have answers. So I think it gets researchers thinking about how they can look at this with other species. So we've just done the study looking at brittle stars. But there's lots of other taxa that could be that have this have lots of samples from lots of different environments in the deep sea. So I guess using this study as a baseline for looking at other animals and how they're connected, and yeah, also like different environments in the deep sea that we haven't yet explored. We only have explored like or seen less than 0.01% of the abyssal ocean, so there's actually a lot that we still don't know. So yeah, I guess it's shining a spotlight on an area we don't know and ways and getting our minds thinking about what we could do next.
And that was Tuesday Wire host Sarah speaking with the Invertebrate Collection Manager at Earth Sciences New Zealand about a recent study conducted by Australia's Museums Victoria Research Institute examining deep sea ecosystems.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.